Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This day in the church year is often called Good Shepherd Sunday. Every year at around this time, we have a reading from John chapter 10, the chapter where Jesus refers to himself as our Good Shepherd. I think one of the most popular Christian scenes in artwork is where Jesus is depicted as our Good Shepherd. Maybe some of you actually have a picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, holding a lamb lovingly in his arms, or perhaps a tranquil scene of a shepherd standing, gazing down lovingly at his flock. Peaceful. I think that's the word that best describes the image that comes to our many of our minds when we think of Jesus as our Good Shepherd. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that picture. In fact, there's a lot of value. It's great to remember the merciful and compassionate nature of our Savior. Yet, that's not exactly the scene that John paints for us today in the gospel lesson that Jesus describes. Not quite so peaceful. Perhaps the problem is that most of us, at least I don't, have a whole lot of experience watching sheep. I suppose there probably are plenty of peaceful moments watching sheep. In fact, there may be long stretches of peaceful, perhaps even boring stretches, where not much of anything goes on. But there's also a lot of work and vigilance involved in shepherding. It's probably a bit like being a parent, I imagine. It sounds like such a nice idea with cute little ones running around doing cute things. Kids playing catch with dad or helping mom bake cookies. I've learned that those special moments do occur and they are absolutely worth it. But they don't quite capture the whole picture. There's still quite a bit of work of running around, changing diapers, disciplining, waking up in the middle of the night involved, and that's just from 3 years of experience as a parent. Kids, I think, are proof that people need shepherds. I've heard our preschool teachers refer to watching a room full of kids as herding cats. Kids need more than just food and water and shelter. They need protection from themselves sometimes and also guidance. They need both love and correction. Yesterday, for example, Donovan, my son, was playing with my infant daughter, Clara, and they were playing very nicely. So I thought I could sneak outside and get some yard work done. I was watching the kids. Mom was in the kitchen around the corner. So I thought I could go outside, and where I was going to be outside, I could look in through the window and see how Donovan and Clara were playing. And if Donovan hurt Clara too badly, she'd scream, and Mom would be there in a flash. However, I didn't look often enough, or maybe I looked one too many times, because all of a sudden, I had been breaking for a few minutes, and I thought I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and I thought, that can't be who I think it is it? But yes, it was. It was my 2-year-old son, Donovan. He hadn't gone out the back door, because then he would have passed Mom, and I would have seen him. I was right by the back door. No, apparently I hadn't locked the front door, which we now have learned he can open by himself. Luckily, because it could have been a much worse, he, instead of running out into the middle of the street, he ran around the backyard, presumably because he had seen Daddy and wanted to go outside and play with him. So after surviving a small heart attack, I picked up this boy with soggy socks and decided I was probably done with yard work for the time being. See, you take your eyes off them for 1 second, and those little lambs are wandering anywhere and everywhere. I'm sure that I'll remember that story. And it proves, I think, a serious point. Kids do need boundaries. And like sheep, sometimes they need to be protected even from things they don't even know to be afraid of. Parents, for instance, make their kids hold their hands when they're little, because otherwise they'd be running around in the streets in the middle of traffic without ever looking. They'd probably be licking their fingers and sticking them in sockets, hitting anyone they didn't like, and playing with every animal they ever saw while wielding sharp objects like it was their day job. Kids, like sheep, need guidance and protection. If they don't have these things, it's frightening what can happen to them or how they can turn out, right? Kids need parents. Sheep need shepherds. And Christians need Christ to guide us, to protect us, and to save us. A shepherd is necessary to sheep because sheep are prone to wander. That sure fits us too, doesn't it? Sometimes, just like dumb sheep, we don't even really have a very good reason for wandering. Like silly sheep, our most common reason is, well, he was doing it, or she was doing it, so I just followed along and did the same thing. Thank you, Adam, we might say, for the lamest, but most often used excuse for sin. Well, someone else was doing it. You see, we often pay no attention to boundaries or safety. We just wander wherever our eyes see or wherever that stupid sheep rear end in front of us is going. We need the protection of a good shepherd. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." You see, here Jesus paints a sharp contrast between himself and other shepherds. Some religious leaders, including some pastors, and probably including all pastors some of the time, care only about what they are getting, fleecing the sheep for all they're worth. They can be lazy and are not too bothered about losing a sheep or two. But our Heavenly Father doesn't see any of us that way. He knows that we are all prone to wander and that we all need protection. Sheep, again, do need to be protected. After all, they aren't exactly fitted with razor-sharp teeth or claws. If a wolf finds a flock unprotected, the worst thing he'll have to worry about is getting wool stuck between his teeth. And even if we don't feel this way, particularly not physically, we all are spiritually, emotionally, and psychologically vulnerable at times. Just think about some of the dumb transgressions you've committed in your life. Or think about some of the dumb things you just about did, but for some reason or another, maybe by the grace of God, you avoided doing. Or maybe where you're in the midst of doing something sinful. And if that's the case, please don't ignore the guidance of your good shepherd. After all, the good shepherd isn't trying to trick any of us. He's trying to protect us. Life and freedom are fragile things. Think about the tragedy that was just barely averted in Waseca, or about those young Nigerian women who are in trouble. When we hear about things like that, we wonder what in the world is going on. Those kinds of tragedies, either big tragedies or personal tragedies, can make us fear the power of evil. And perhaps that's why the picture of the Good Shepherd is so comforting. If we admit how weak and vulnerable and fragile we are, then the words of Jesus are a balm to our soul. God knows that we are sheep. He knows that there are just some problems that are too big for us to handle. That's when having a good shepherd who knows all and sees all is such a comfort. I started off by saying that Jesus paints a picture of the good shepherd, and one that pictures painted of Jesus as the good shepherd are usually associated with peace. And then I said, that's not always the case, but maybe I should rephrase that. The picture of Jesus as our good shepherd is a picture of peace. It's our peace at Christ's expense. It's not very peaceful from the perspective of the shepherd. There's a lot of hard work, patience, perseverance, and self-sacrifice involved. Jesus cared not only for the sheep, he laid down his very life to save us from ourselves and from the wolf. He's constantly on the lookout, even today, for wolves and for anything that might harm us, making sure that we don't stray too far from the fold and seeking us out whenever we do. Now, sometimes there is conflict and strife for the sheep, either sometimes of our own making as we wander or on account of others like wolves who endanger the flock. But whosever fault the problem is, it's only one person who resolves the problem. It's the Good Shepherd. That's the kind of peace we sheep receive. It's the peace of knowing who to trust. When trouble comes, the sheep doesn't have to figure out a solution. The wolf may be just as frightening as to someone without a shepherd, but all thoughts of the wolf flee, as does the wolf at the voice of the Good Shepherd. You see, there is a peace that comes from knowing who to listen to. On the account of the Good Shepherd, we have a peace because of his constant vigilance for us. You and I, we don't have to focus all the time on the problems around us. We don't have to figure out all of life's dangers and find all the solutions. What we do have to do is simple: to focus on the voice of our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who speaks to us in God's Word. Listen to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, Jesus Christ. He cares for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue by collecting our offering to the Lord.